This is Dom Flechinger.
And Jesse Scardina.
And we are on site at the Heinz Convention Center in Boston for the Salesforce World Tour Stop. How you doing today, Jesse?
Pretty good. We're about halfway through the day here. We're looking out over on Boylston Street, Berklee College of Music, right across the road, and there's a swarm of business suits walking by us on the other side.
I really do love this place. This is a real treasure conference space in the Boston area, and it's sort of been overshadowed by the waterfront facilities. And so it's always great when you have sort of smaller conferences.
Yeah.
And you get the opportunity to come down. But I mean, the marathon finish line is right
down the road,
and right off Newbury Street. This is great.
The security getting in here was interesting. A little Marathon Monday-ish, I gotta say.
That was unbelievable because I actually came to Heinz for a user event for Athena Health, the health IT vendor, and it was maybe 3 or 4 days after they caught Sarnoff in Watertown.
Yeah.
And actually, Athena Health's headquarters were in Watertown, just a few blocks away. And I have to tell you, the security today with all the dogs, the metal detectors, and the heavy security and police presence, this was far, far more than they had like 3 days after the marathon bombings. I was very surprised.
It was the same last year, too. It was my first conference I ever attended last year for Tech Target, and that surprised me as well. And it must be a Salesforce better safe than sorry thing. But I went to Dreamforce, too, and maybe just because of the scope of that, it'd be harder to have security on every block and every corner. But it seemed that was even a little more free-flowing than this event, which is very, like you said, very security-heavy and very kind of scheduled out. But we've each done a couple, I think, good sessions. We attended the keynote together. Wanted to start off with your thoughts, Don. What are your general thoughts on the one-day conference so far?
Well, the vibe here is definitely marketing-heavy. We have to, as reporters, dig hard to find people using the technology for business reasons and getting return on value in their Salesforce investment. But I've talked with a couple people, and, you know, I will write more about it down the road, but I did actually find some people who have faith that their Salesforce implementations, that many of them are now being piloted, but they have faith that they have figured out the business reasons first, and then they've sort of figured out the Salesforce services and technologies that will get them to their business drivers and make, you know, better revenue bumps or save money or whatnot. And I saw a presentation from Echo, ECCO, the shoe brand.
Company.
Yeah. And they definitely have shown some ROI on email marketing, that they're doing personalization that they started just Q4 last year. So they're slowly but surely, some of these AI, IoT technologies are starting to have real world use instead of just marketing hype. But I will say it is about 90% marketing hype at this point.
It is a lot. And you brought up a good point there about kind of having the business process come before the tech. And I've seen that as a theme in a lot of the conferences I've attended, is that businesses, rather than finding and picking a new tech, they call it the new shiny toy, and then trying to fit it into their business processes, doing it that way is the reverse way that I think many businesses are now realizing you should do it.
I talked to the woman, and I wish I could remember her name right now, that gave the presentation, and I sat down with her after her talk and asked her, how do you set up the project so that you're not overspending, so that there is a scope creep, so that it doesn't spin out of control and suddenly you're spending 5 times as much as you planned and there will be no ROI because you overspent. And she's just like, take it easy, crawl, walk, run,
yeah,
do a pilot, A-B testing, you know, all these business terms, which had nothing to do with AI, which is what she was using.
But
it's basic business IT implementation 101 is what's going to make this work.
Right? Yeah, that's important for, you know, a new software, new technology like AI when it's infiltrating the business world, is you still need to bring that business processes to it rather than let the AI kind of run your processes, because then you're giving too much power to the technology or the software and not to the decision makers in the company.
But holy smokes, Jesse, you're talking about hype and marketing behind technologies like AI and IoT. That's a great segue. What did you think of that keynote?
The keynote, while it did touch on AI and the influx of Einstein throughout all of Salesforce's products, it was very, how would I say it, very evangelic of Trailhead, kind of a branch of Salesforce, which are really trying to push this year. And it seems like, leading up with some conversations I've had with Salesforce execs this year, today's conference, and them kind of sort of cluing us in onto what might be coming at Dreamforce, it seems like Trailhead is going to be a big theme throughout the rest of the year for Salesforce, if I were a betting man.
Yeah, and so that keynote brought out Keith Block, Chief Operating Officer, and he was a board member. He is a board member. And that was interesting. They had the Dropkick Murphys come out at 9:45 and sort of wake up the suits, you know?
I lost my leg!
Anyway, but that was kind of funny. But, you know, that was all right. It was nice having the Dropkicks there to and definitely keeping it real. But the thing that I'm not going to say confused me, but it definitely surprised me where they had these wonderful, slick customer stories, Amazon Web Services,
Farmers Insurance,
and a couple others. And they had these presenters who were so articulate and smooth and rehearsed. And I started looking these people up because... Hell, I want to interview these people.
We're a customer-facing company, so we like to include customers in most of our stories, and we thought that these people talking were representing the company that was being discussed. But
no, they were Salesforce marketing people who were sort of surrogates for Farmers Insurance, Amazon Web Services, and the other customers that they had brought. It was kind of unnerving.
A little bait and switchy.
Well, also... why didn't Amazon Web Services want to come and tell their own story?
I don't know. It will certainly be something we're recording this, like I said, about midday. It's about 10 minutes to 2. The conference goes until about 5. There's many sessions coming up after. Right after our recording, I'm actually speaking with Farmers Insurance executives myself, so I'll be asking kind of that question about, you know, where were they when Farmers was being talked about, and in addition to kind of the more general questions about what they're using Salesforce for and how they're utilizing it. Another part of the keynote that was mentioned was Brett Taylor, who was a founder of a company called Quip, which Salesforce bought towards the end of last year, I want to say around September of 2016. Brett Taylor is well known in the tech industry with working in Facebook and Google Maps as well. He did a quick little demonstration on Quip, which is a sort of a living Word document company. He showcased a little bit about how some of the AI and machine learning aspects of Salesforce can help with Quip and its mobile capabilities as well. But other than the customers and Brett Taylor talking about Quip, Keith Block really hammered on kind of some of the high-ranging aspects of Salesforce. It wasn't really too tech-specific. There was, you know, their philanthropic work and the money they give back and the schools they sponsor. And like I said, there was a lot of talk about Trailhead, which for Salesforce, it seems like they're putting a lot of backing into that because they see it as an opportunity to kind of spread their web for, I'd imagine, not too much cost with kind of people outside of the Salesforce silo, being able to learn more about some of the techniques in there and spread it to their companies. For those that don't know, Trailhead is a free sort of learning platform to become a Salesforce administrator, a Salesforce developer, and they're really championing that cause to provide better business value for these folks that are going through that process. But I'm interested to see kind of some of the real world examples as to what businesses have gained from their employees using Trailhead. That's been a little lax.
So what's very interesting is that I found a corner to sit down, you know, one of those cul-de-sacs in Hines. There are many little
labyrinths.
Labyrinths and spaces with furniture in it. And, you know, I wanted to catch up on my email, my texting, sent out a few tweets, and I had packed a snack. And so I sat down in this very quiet place to mellow out for a little bit. And then a Salesforce salesperson and a customer who didn't know I was a reporter came in and sat down beside me and started talking about that customer situation and what services they might be buying and sort of how they need to move forward in their Salesforce implementation. And I found it very interesting that the message we are getting about Trailhead from all the marketing, product marketing, company representatives, and sort of all the materials we're getting is Trailhead. It's the way you get, you know, more out of Salesforce and all this stuff. The salesperson was talking to the customer, you know what? You need to smarten up on certain Salesforce processes and get a certification and become more self-sufficient in your organization so that you know which services to purchase. So you're not buying too much, you're buying enough, and you're implementing it wisely. And you know what word he did not bring up in that conversation? Trailhead. They were talking about where he could get courses to get the certifications. There was, when the lights were down and we weren't around any marketing executives, and I heard an actual Salesforce salesperson talk to an actual customer, Trailhead was not part of that conversation. In fact, he was steering this customer to other resources to get that knowledge that the customers are supposed to be getting from Trailhead.
Well, I think you kind of mentioned it there at the top. It was a salesperson, and the thing with Trailhead is it's free. It's free for users to sort of build up their knowledge of Salesforce to, I think in Salesforce's mind, better enrich their company. I had a lunch with a couple other analysts, reporters, representatives from Trailhead, and they had three trailblazers there. I did air quotes there with the three trailblazers who have gone through and successfully received badges and merit and finished these courses. And they described a little bit, each one of them worked for John Hancock. I didn't catch what the other two, what companies they worked for, but they brought some aspects about how new initiatives or their company would start adopting Salesforce, and they, being in the position they were in the company, wanted to kind of get out ahead of some of the processes that they needed to learn, and they turned to turned to Trailhead to do so. So there's some use cases there, but I think, like you said, for someone who's trying to sell Salesforce to a client, I don't think they're going to recommend Trailhead first off.
Well, and the other thing is, that was one Salesforce salesperson talking to one customer. In this era of fake news and social media, echo chambers, I must remind myself that one example does not represent the entire cohort, and I must not let my confirmation bias get in the way of a good anecdote. But yet,
that's a nice disclaimer there for everyone listening.
But yeah, it's just one conversation and one approach. But I did find it perhaps ironic, or maybe coincidental, that he did not bring up Trailhead when the money was on the table.
Yeah. One other aspect that we're going to wrap it up here in a couple moments, but prior to the keynote, there was one hour of breakout sessions, and I attended one about Salesforce Wave Analytics that had a couple interesting statistics going along with it that I've kind of seen anecdotally throughout my writing, but it was nice to kind of see with numbers. The presenter, and I'm going to butcher the name, and I apologize for that, but it's a Suyog Deshpande. He's a senior product marketing manager for Wave Analytics for Salesforce. And he mentioned a couple interesting things. First, he had the kind of broad, you know, 50,000 gigabytes of data is created per second, 70% of that being customer data. All those large numbers are kind of obvious in today's kind of data-driven world. The one that, the couple stats that really kind of caught my eye were that less than 1% of customer data gets analyzed for companies. And of that, 29% of companies don't, or only 29% connect the analytics to action. So there's been such a wave in a movement of getting AI functionality and analytics into companies to get more insight of data, but less than 30% of companies are actually using that insight to an actionable decision in the company, which if you're not using it to make decisions, it's almost like you're paying for nothing.
Well, that's all great stuff, Jesse. I look forward to reading the deep dive of your coverage of your sessions you went to today at the Salesforce Boston World Tour.
Likewise, Don. I appreciate the time here, and check out our articles on the today's events at searchsalesforce.com.
Yeah, the URL is, if you didn't catch it, searchsalesforce.com. Until next time, that's another Pipeline podcast in the books.